After the service, we're going to have an opportunity to be able to, or at the end of the service, to be able to spend time, or to be able to help support the ministry of the Gesslers. And so we're going to pass the offering plate and have a love offering. So I just want you to know that at the end of the service. They have not come to us saying, we're charging you anything for this. They haven't said anything about money to us, but we want to be able to support them for their ministry. And I'm so glad to have Justice and Carly and Wesley and Joe and Teresa. And I got them right? Okay. I'd like to read from John chapter 7. As we're going through the Gospel of John, and John chapter 7, beginning at verse 252. John 7, 40 through 52. If you'd like to open your Bibles and to follow me. We read, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. You mean he has deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Has any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and we will come find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. No one ever spoke the way this man does. The temple guards who had been sent out to arrest Jesus were in absolute awe. Jesus left a lasting mark on them. What was it in Jesus' speech that moved these men? That kept them from doing what they had been commanded to do? I'm sure you've heard the term fake news. Since the fall of man, information has been misrepresented in order to misguide other people. The misuse of information has always been a vital part of the struggle for power. In warfare, it's called propaganda. In trade, it's called false advertising. But the most corrupt mishandling of information was to withhold the truth from us. With the rapid spread of the internet and social media, we have virtually unlimited information. However, if we don't know where it's coming from and what it's intended to accomplish, then we can be easily deceived. We cannot trust any source of information by default. Every piece of information, every bit of commentary needs to be assessed for its truth and its validity. However, few of us are able to do that well, except when it comes to things that we are personally familiar with. Dear Father, as we look to your word this morning, we pray that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before what you want to say to us here this morning. Speak to us now. We thank you for what you have done through the Gesslers family and speaking to us through music and through testimony. And dear Father, we pray that you will continue to speak through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The situation was no different in Jesus' time. John 7, verses 40 through 52 that we just read reveals a huge dispute over who Jesus really is and what they needed to do with him. Jesus revealed his own identity and his purpose. He called upon the people to recognize him for who he claimed to be and to follow him, but not everyone was convinced. Jesus' life and teaching, however unusual, raised a lot of eyebrows. Jesus did some very good things, like healing people and driving out demons. But he did them on the Sabbath. So they concluded a man who constantly breaks their rules about the Sabbath, regardless of the great things he did, cannot be a man of God. The Jewish leaders sent the armed temple guards to arrest Jesus and to bring him in for trial. And when the guards returned empty-handed, the leaders demanded an explanation. And they said, "No one ever spoke the way this man does." Now, Jesus didn't resort to clever verbal tricks to charm his audience. He simply was being himself. He connected to his audience. He spoke from his heart to their heart. Jesus disarmed the temple guards not by violence or force, but by his words. How then did his words change their hearts? Here's the first way Jesus impacted his audience. His teaching was full of authority and truth. We read in Matthew 28, that after Jesus had finished the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Jesus was not a philosopher who developed new models and theories about life and religion and about God. Jesus himself was and is God. His words were indeed God's own words. And that is why they never failed to touch the person that came to Jesus with an open mind and an open heart. Still today, when we read or hear the teaching of Jesus from the Gospels, we sense how true his words are. You simply cannot question Jesus' teaching with a good conscience, and you simply cannot escape his message. Even after 2,000 years, it never ceases to speak to us. It hits the target each and every time. Jewish leader Nicodemus noticed that when he came in the middle of the night to Jesus to discuss with him, he was overwhelmed. The Samaritan woman at the well noticed it when Jesus asked her for a drink and offered her the water of life. She too was overwhelmed. The temple guards who came to arrest Jesus noticed it, and they were overwhelmed. The letter to the Hebrews compares the word of God to a sharp sword. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When Jesus spoke words from God, words full of divine authority and truth, that's exactly what happened, even to the temple guards. So Jesus' words were full of authority and truth. Secondly, Jesus' words were full of love and compassion. When Jesus spoke his words and his way of connecting with his audience were so different than anyone that they had ever heard. There's something gentle and compassionate about even the toughest challenges that Jesus sets before us. In that way, he was so different from the teachers whose demands were huge obstacles to salvation. But following Jesus does come at a price. Jesus asked us to give our lives for others, just as he gave his life for us. But when he compared his demands to those of the teachers, Jesus concluded, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus spoke to people that society had rejected. Jesus offered forgiveness, reconciliation, and hope. He healed those no one else would even treat. He helped those too weak to help themselves. And then Jesus' compassion gave new value and meaning to those whose lives were empty and meaningless. The message of love and mercy still resounds in every corner of the world where Jesus is preached. Jesus' teaching was full of authority and truth. His words were full of love and compassion. He spoke directly from the Father heart of God to the heart of men and women. When Jesus speaks to a heart, something inside us and his image within us, however damaged and disfigured, something inside us will respond when he speaks to our heart. When I want to share with you something that is on my heart, I need to form a thought in my mind. Next, I need to put it into words. Then I need to write or speak those words to you clearly so that you can read or hear them accurately. Then you need to repeat back to me and try to feel what I felt. When you respond, then the whole process starts over again. So many things can go wrong, it's almost a miracle that we can communicate at all. And when Jesus speaks, he creates a direct hotline between the loving heart of God and our hearts. And we can experience that connection on a very real level, even though we can't explain it. And then when Jesus speaks, you can sense God's loving presence, his loving presence. We all have our own reasons why we're here this morning. We all have our own reasons why we believe in Jesus and we seek him. We all have our own story of faith and doubt and of trust in God and even of our occasional discouragement with him. And some of you this morning might be going through a time of doubt right now, a crisis of faith. You feel God is too far away, or he just doesn't connect when you need him most. You feel he does not answer when you call out to him. You feel let down and disappointed. In times of crisis like that, the worst thing that you can do is to shut your ears and your eyes and your heart to shut out Jesus from your life. Even though he may not be doing or saying what you want him to do or say, He has not left us, and he is not silent. In times of spiritual dryness or depression, it's tempting to just cut our ties with God and to stop reading the Bible and to stop praying. But that will just make matters worse. Jesus' teaching was full of authority and truth. Jesus' words were full of love and compassion. And then third, God wants to stay connected to you. He wants to stay connected with you. God wants to build you up in your faith. He wants you to recognize Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Today, let me encourage you to continue to let God speak to you through the Bible. Let God speak to you through the Bible. Allow God to reveal his truth, his love, and his heart to you. He says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." If we take time to let God reveal his loving presence, if we calm down and be still and retreat from the pressures of day-to-day life, if we take some quiet time each day with the Lord, you will find that he is with you and that he is in charge of your life if you let him. Whatever your circumstances may be, he wants to speak to you, and he wants to use you. Trust in him. Be still and know that he is God. He is your God. Dear Father, I pray that you will help us this morning to understand more fully than ever before that you are the God who loves us, and that you speak to us, to our hearts, if we open ourselves to you. We may not understand what we're going through. We may not understand what we're facing, but we know that you do, and we can trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.